There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph, the 11th daily tennis podcast from this 2016 US Open. We are coming to you between day and night sessions. Well, actually, Serena Williams and Simona Halep have just taken to the court for their warm-up for the first night session match, but we are post the two-day session matches. David Law joins me fresh, or perhaps not so fresh, birthday boy. Sorry. David Law.
I'm fresh.
Birthday boy David Law joins me from the Five Live commentary box, or fresh from the Five Live commentary box. We're not in the Five Live commentary box just now. We're in the media area just outside where we've all just watched Andy Murray come into press. We'll talk about all of that in a minute. But David, first, your immediate reaction to the match, to the shock result, to everything.
Yeah, it is a bit of a shock result. I am surprised because I think it's 16 of his last 18 five-set matches Andy Murray has won, and the only guy he's lost to in that period is Novak Djokovic on two occasions. I think in the Australian Open when he just started with Lendl, and at the French Open last year. So the number of times that we've seen him in that position digging it out makes you feel as though he's just going to do it again. And he very nearly did do it again. But equally, I look at Kei Nishikori here 2 years ago in a very similar kind of match against Novak Djokovic. And again, in that time, you would have been thinking, this is Novak Djokovic. You know, this will turn. This will, you know. And Nishikori is actually, when he's playing really well, he's good enough to live with them from the back of the court. Now, you may say, oh, well, that wasn't the real Andy Murray out there, or it wasn't the real Novak Djokovic 2 years ago. But I think that would probably do Nishikori a disservice, because he can go toe-to-toe, and then he puts the doubt in the mind, and he didn't buckle. I mean, he buckled a couple of times, a little bit he wobbled. Murray, I don't think, has got quite enough in the tank to be as resilient as he would normally be. And I read a line in Simon Briggs on the Telegraph, his line on the immediate post-match report, and he said you could see him going into his reservoir of stubbornness and coming up empty. And I'd say that pretty much sums it up. But equally, you know, I think there are question marks over the way he let it go in that loss of concentration in that bizarre fourth set.
As great as that line is from Simon Briggs, we can't let him off the hook too much, because he did say in a not so long ago podcast that we might as well hand Andy Murray the trophy now. He's not here to defend himself, so we'll leave that there. I just thought I'd remind everyone.
He did retract that in the next podcast the day after, because I mean, look, I think anybody who saw, even that was before the Dimitrov match, anybody that saw Murray against Dimitrov would have thought, unless Djokovic comes back, the real Djokovic, then who's going to stop the guy? But this just goes to show, no 2 days on a tennis court are necessarily going to be the same. You can wake up one day feeling better than another. You can have all sorts of things happen. And that wasn't the same level of Andy Murray that we saw a couple of days ago.
It was,
But maybe that's because of Nishikori's play. I don't know.
How much do we want to let Andy Murray off the hook here? First and foremost, I sort of want to apologise for how much we're going to inevitably end up focusing on Andy Murray, because Nishikori was extraordinary today. He earned that. He definitely took something from what happened in that Davis Cup match where he was a break-up and ended up losing it. The fact that Nishikori took more from that in that situation than Murray ended up doing, he was extraordinary. He deserved it. But there's a lot to look at from the Andy Murray side, and he, at moments, behaved pretty abominably on the court. I have a whole world of time for Andy Murray. I think he's a fantastic, genuinely great guy. But that is, he's not that genuinely great guy on the court, and he certainly wasn't today. I found myself thinking back to, you know, what Amélie Mauresmo said in the aftermath of their split about her finding it very, very tough to try and reconcile the guy that she saw on the court sometimes with the guy that she knows Andy Murray is. And I spent that match, I watched most of it from the photographer's pit just below the player's box, which, of course, is where he directs most of the abuse, if you want to call it that, whatever it is. You know, quite often he doesn't even intend it to be headed their way. They're just a convenient, you know. So it almost felt like he was shouting it at us, you know. I got the feeling of what it was like to be on the receiving end of that, and it was really uncomfortable. It was a tough watch for an Andy Murray fan, in all honesty. And yes, there were extraneous factors that were difficult, you know. There are questions to answer. A lot of that match was played under a roof when it was blazing sunshine outside, and that PA, the issue with the PA is not insignificant, and all of that, but he dealt with it really poorly for a man of his experience today.
Yeah, ultimately I think it comes down to his makeup is that when he is pushed to the limit and he's really tired, he becomes a different person for a while on the court under those pressures. And I mean, I agree with you. I think he's a really good guy off the court, and I love watching him compete on the court. And yeah, I find myself shaking my head sometimes when I'm watching him on the court. It was very difficult for me to hear. I was commentating on 5 Live. We're up in the gods now. We do get the court microphone effects, but I couldn't really make out things he was saying.
Well, I would tell you, David, but they're not. Most of them are not repeatable. He had a big issue with he was chuntering when the roof first closed. He was chuntering a lot about the light. He's saying, "I can't see the ball, I can't see the serve," and then he sort of shifted that to, "I can't pick his serve," and then it was just general. You know, it was the box aren't standing up enough, and then it was, "Can you all sit down, please?" You know, not it, that's a paraphrase. You know, it was they couldn't do right for doing wrong.
Yeah, and I think we came down in an elevator in a group of people, all of us, and one of them was John McEnroe, and it just reminded me of John in that way of, in the heat of the battle, he isn't necessarily always making a lot of sense to a bystander, and he does they do become different people, because the, you know, it's hard to reconcile. I do agree with that. I saw during that thing when the PA system went off and he went and had it out with Maria Cicek and came away, and he didn't stop talking about that for about half an hour, it seemed to me at least. I couldn't hear it, but the body language was he was losing game after game, and he couldn't get that out of his head. Now, I think it's easy for somebody like me to sit here and say, "Why didn't you do that? Why were you doing that?" I don't know what it's like. I don't know what he is feeling like. I know that certain other players would have handled that situation better than he did, because that is his makeup. There are benefits to it. He's able to dig so deep and deeper than maybe those people who wouldn't get distracted by that situation. So there are pros and cons to his personality, the way there are for everybody. I know for a fact, on a personal level, that when I get exhausted on a number, if we do goodness knows how many days in a row, I may say something to somebody that I don't really mean, or snap at somebody, or let myself down. I mean, I think a lot of people do that.
Or laugh at someone for walking into a tree.
That remains a career highlight. You know, that when you say let him off the hook, that's the way I would do that, in as much as I think we're all prone to that. I think that's a human reaction, and that's him, you know. And now we could sit here and criticize it, but then I'm not sure that much can be done about that, because then then we need to start looking at ourselves and everybody else. The only thing I would say is, if we are going to cut him that slack, there are certain other players that occasionally need to be cut slack as well, because under pressure, under extreme fatigue, most people say something or react in a way that maybe we, in our relaxed state of minds, courtside, don't approve of. But, you know, there's a human being we're talking about.
Yeah, we perhaps do occasionally fall in too much to just assuming these guys are machines and can get out of jail, you know, because Andy Murray, you know, got out of jail against Steve Johnson and against Fabio Fognini at the Olympics. That's just what he does, and that's what he would do again, rather than that was an extraordinary feat, what he managed there. Don't take it for granted. We've just seen him impress. We were both in there. What were your impressions of both his general demeanour and what he had to say? I should mention, he came in immediately. It was not a hugely he had had no time to properly reflect on anything, which he often does after a defeat.
Well, he did what he had to do. He gave credit to his opponents. He made no excuses.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. As he said, it's the same for Kay and me, and in terms of our summers, because I asked him that question, you know, do you think maybe your resources are depleted because of the workload, and that contributed to you not being able to mount the sort of comeback we often see from you? And he said, no, look, I felt okay, and Ken Nishikori's played the same number of tournaments as me. He hasn't gone as deep as Andy Murray. He hasn't had quite the degree of emotion. So, look, but what's he going to say? He's not going to say, oh, you know, he's not going to make excuses like that. He did try to make out, look, I've had a good summer, I'd have signed up for that. He would. I mean, I think everything he said was legitimate today, but when you do come rushing into a press conference like that, you absolutely, after a loss, you are not reflective. It is not the best time to get real sense out of somebody about the whys and all that sort of thing. But everybody loses, and I do think it's a missed opportunity on one level, but yeah, he's not perfect. He's not infallible.
Kei Nishikori will now earn himself a meeting, or has earned himself a meeting, with either Stan Wawrinka or Juan Martín Del Potro. That match is yet to be played. We will bring you an addendum to this podcast after that match, either from David or myself. We will debate over that later. There are now two of the five men left in the draw that Novak Djokovic has never lost to. Djokovic, as Jeff Tarango said during your commentary, David, would have been plumping his pillows and putting his feet up watching that fifth set, my, how things have changed in terms of the Novak Djokovic conversation. Well, over the last 2 weeks, really, and particularly in the last 5 or so hours.
And that's why, again, I think we are, and I'm guilty of this too, we jump to conclusions based on the past. And Novak Djokovic comes in with a wrist injury. He's looking a bit fed up with life. Andy Murray goes and smashes Grigor Dimitrov, and we just assume that this is how it will be. And we put them in the final together. I'm the worst of the lot. I love looking ahead, but Djokovic is a past master at getting through draws and then peaking and being at his best. I mean, Andy Murray was asked who's the favourite. He said Novak's the favourite. He's the one.
He didn't pause, did he? I mean, it was almost like, well, that's a silly question.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the winning record against every player left in the draw, and he's the one who's got double-digit Grand Slams. That's why he's the favourite for this title. Doesn't mean he'll win it. Doesn't mean he'll win it. You know, you look at any one of those players left in the draw, they could beat him. They could win the title.
I spoke to Michael Tillstrom earlier. He certainly thinks Gael Monfils can beat him. Not tomorrow, in a couple of days' time. Tomorrow is of course, women's semi-final day. He was very interesting. Well, I say he was very interesting. He was just like Monfils himself. He wouldn't give away exactly what they're doing differently, exactly how he's changed his focus, his training, any of that. But just like Gael Monfils himself, he said, things are different. This is a different Gael Monfils. Yes, he's never beaten him, Djokovic, that is. But that doesn't mean he can't.
No, it doesn't mean he can't, and today was a bit of an example of that. Kei Nishikori comes in 0-12 against the top two players in the world since that win over Djokovic 2 years ago. He's been playing all year long and knocking on the door. He's been getting through everybody, and then he kept running into Murray or to Djokovic, and Monfils has been kind of the other one who's been doing that. If you look at his results for the year, he hasn't lost too many to people he shouldn't lose to, and he's looking as good as he ever has. I mean, the it's just, you don't really know what he's going to come out with tonight, or in the semi-finals rather. That is the problem with Gael, and it's the problem with anybody pretty much not named Djokovic. You know, and Murray to a degree. I mean, I thought Murray played all right today, but he didn't do enough. So, yeah, Monfils can win. Still don't think he will, though.
Yeah, he can win. Probably won't. I think that's the general consensus. A bit like the Songa match last night, which obviously was a huge disappointment from a number of respects. But extraordinary that Novak Djokovic has played 6 hours, 26 minutes of tennis. I've heard so many various different stats quoted in relation to that. The fact that it's only half an hour more than that Australian Open finally played in 2012. I mean, it's just amazing. Anyway, we must quickly just touch upon the one women's match that we have seen already today. Karolina Pliskova winning through against Anna Konyu of Croatia. Just perhaps a bridge too far for her with her limited levels of experience today.
Yeah, and very different conditions. And then we talked about it last night, how we thought it might be an erratic match with a lot of unforced errors. Daytime, roofs open, it's just a different feel. And the pressure was on a little bit, and Pliskova gives you no rhythm. Pliskova's a good player. I mean, she could cause some problems for Serena if that's the match. We'll find out later if that's the match she ends up having. Konyu, I hope we will see a lot more of, because she's genuinely exciting.
She's only 18. I mean, something disastrous would have to happen for us not to see more of her. It's great to see Pliskova fulfilling that potential, which, you know, I always remember Martina Navratilova's words about her, which she was absolutely glowing, and that was, you know, a year and a half ago or so. Anyway, we will find out who Pliskova will play. Obviously, most people tipping Serena, but we will be back after these two night matches have been played. But I'm going to let David Law go and celebrate his birthday. We'll be back later.
So a few hours have passed since Catherine and I were speaking after that Andy Murray against Kei Nishikori match, and we now know the identity of one of the singles semi-finalists, and it is, of course, Serena Williams, who came through an absolute corker, by the looks of things, against Simona Halep. I didn't see all of it, saw a fair bit of it, and it was really tightly contested, well over 2 hours, nearly 2 hours for the first two sets, and then eventually Serena Williams just stepped on the gas and really showed what she's all about, didn't she? And she's through to the semi-finals where Karolina Pliskova awaits, and that is going to be a seriously hard-hitting contest. That'll take place at 7 o'clock New York time on Thursday, with Caroline Wozniacki against Angelique Kerber to follow. So we look forward to seeing how those matches unfold. I've got a sneaky feeling it doesn't take a genius to come up with this, but I'd be surprised if Serena doesn't make the final and Kerber just about squeezes out Wozniacki, but we will see. So what about the men's match between Juan Martín Del Potro and Stan Wawrinka? Well, it's still going on. And as I speak to you, it's 20 past midnight at the moment. Whether I'm actually going to get to the end of it, I don't know. I'm going to try. But it's one set all at the moment. The first set went to Stan Wawrinka on a tiebreak, a really close set. And second set has gone to Del Potro just now. It's two games all in the third. And it's really exactly what I think we all hoped it would be. It's a battle. We're seeing some extraordinary power on show, and still a pretty full house. But really, what are we doing playing tennis at 20 past midnight? Is that right? Is that the best idea? I enjoy late night tennis, but it does seem a bit ridiculous, really. The fact that a lot of people are going to have to probably start going home at some point this evening, and all you need is one 3-set match in the women's match at the start, and then to have a close first set, and then you get into the situation. And I mean, these guys could well leave the court at 2 or 3 in the morning, the way things are going. I mean, I know they have a final set tiebreak, but 2 hours and 10 minutes so far for two games all in the third, and no real end in sight. And I'm not sure that's really good for the game. What else have we got tomorrow? We've got the women's doubles semi-final. Bethany Mattek-Sands and Lucy Safarova against Ekaterina Makarova and Elena Vesnina. That's a good match. We've also got Garcia and Mladenovic against Hingis and Coco Vandeweghe in their first Grand Slam doubles tournament together since Hingis and Mertzer split up. We've also got Jamie Murray in action tomorrow, third on the grandstand court. Jamie Murray and Bruno Suarez had a good win over Chris Guccione and Andre Sarr earlier today, and they take on Pierre-Hugues Bert and Nicolas Mahut, the top seeds. And there's also after that Feliciano Lopez and Mark Lopez against Pablo Carreño Busta and Guillermo Garcia Lopez. Two double-barreled names on the same team. So that's tomorrow, and Thursday's order of play. You'll be able to get live commentary on BBC Five Live of both of the women's semi-finals. We'll have updates on Jamie Murray as well in the afternoon, evening time in Britain. And Catherine will be with you on Eurosport, of course, as well. She'll be back tomorrow. We'll try to get a tennis podcast recorded tomorrow as well, and we'll reflect on Del Potro and Wawrinka in tomorrow's show. But for now, what you're going to have to do is going to have to look on Twitter at Tennis Podcast or one of the news outlets to find out who has won between Del Potro and Wawrinka. But that's all for now from us. Thanks for joining us. Speak to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.